So Ephesians chapter 2 is where we're going to look for just a few minutes together. So in light of all the current events and all the challenges and struggles and pressures that we face in our world today, what is God's word for a world absolutely caught up in chaos and craziness? The word is grace. The word is grace. So this morning, we're going to look in Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to think about this truth. Why does God save us by grace? Why? Why does God save us by grace? First of all, why does God save us at all? Secondly, why does He save us by grace? So if you'll stand now in honor of the reading of God's word, Ephesians chapter 2, we begin reading in verse number 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Heavenly Father, may the Word of God find a place in our hearts and minds. May we hear Your Word today. May we hear Your Word in the midst of the distractions of life, the busyness of life, and our own personal priorities. May we now put them aside, and may we listen to what You have to say to us. Holy Spirit, put in the hearts of Your people what they need to hear. And among our friends who are here who do not follow Jesus, we pray that they might hear, perhaps for the first time, that grace is available to them, Your grace, so that they might be saved. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. First of all, I'd like for you to consider this. God saves us by grace to raise us up spiritually from death. So we're in a different condition when we don't know Jesus. Before we come to know Jesus, the Bible says we're living spiritually dead. We're dead people. We're dead men walking. That's what He says in verse 1. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, and in this way you formerly walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the devil, and you walked according to your lusts, the lusts of your flesh, indulging in the desires of flesh and mind, and we lived like everybody else, under the wrath of God. You see, if you don't know Jesus today, no matter how smart you are, no matter how much education's important, no matter how much education you have, no matter your family background, no matter who you may be, listen to me, if you don't know Jesus, if you have never been saved, as the Bible calls it, from yourself, from the world, from the devil's grip and control, if you've never been saved, you are under the wrath of God. You'll be judged by God because you've not chosen to come under Jesus' authority and trust Him by faith. That's the whole question for every person who's alive today. Will they willingly come to Jesus? So the grace of God put on display for the world demonstrates something that we would not think God would do. You know, a lot of people these days are saying things like, well, you know, God just ought to burn everybody up. That's the real answer. Just judge everybody. No, God's different about that. For by grace are we saved, through faith, that not of ourselves. It's a gift from God. God doesn't want to burn anybody up. God doesn't choose to want to judge anybody. It's His desire that no one perish. We're dealing with a God of grace, a God who cares about us. So we learn, first of all, from these passages, a very important truth. How do we respond as we live in the world? We respond as gracious people. The second thing we learn from these verses that's very important is God saves us by grace, and He displays His abundant grace and kindness. Now, I want you to go back for a moment, and I want you to look, if you have your Bibles open, in Ephesians chapter 1 at verse 5. He predestined us to be to the adoption as sons through Christ to Himself. And then notice what the Bible says. According, now I'm reading from the New American Standard. Yours may translate it a little differently. According to the kind intention of His will. And then in verse number 9, He made known to us the mystery of His will. Listen, according to His kind intention. I love the way the New American Standard describes it. The kind intentions of God. Now, we've heard about random acts of kindness. That's good. Random acts of kindness. But God has intentional acts of kindness. There's a difference. He intentionally is kind to us. Oh, by the way, He's kind to the world. He's kind to those who would stand and ridicule Jesus in the public place. He's kind to the God-haters. He's kind to the atheists. He's kind to those who live in wickedness and do horrible things and treat people. Are you listening to me? He's kind. He's kind to the sinful, wicked among us. He is kind to those who still walk in a world system that tries to focus us in and make us all look alike, say the same things, and act the same way. He is kind to those who are dead in their sins, who don't know any other way to live. And He's been kind to you. He's been kind to you. As I look at your eyes, every one of you, you hear me this morning. He's been kind to you. He has been intentionally kind to you. You know, sometimes we have the idea that we're somebody important. And we are. We're created in the image of God, and because of that, we're greatly loved. But you know, we all come from different kinds of backgrounds where we have lived in sin, far away from God, in rebellion, hating others and treating people wrong. God has been kind to us, not when we were good, but when we were in our sin. He's displayed His mercy. So look at this verse, verse 7. I put it here on the screen. He has shown His grace. For by grace are you saved, in order that in the ages to come, eternally, there will be something on display for all the ages to come. You know what it is that's on display? The surpassing riches of His grace, listen, in kindness toward us in Christ. So, I had the opportunity to be away. I was glad for Dr. Oldham to preach for me last week. And yes, I went to Destin, Florida, because my daughter and my wife kept putting things on Facebook, so you can't believe everything you see on Facebook. And so I went down there, and we were down at Destin, Coral Reef Resort. Okay, everybody wants to know, so that's where I was at. Look it up on the map, and you can find out where I was. And there we were in that beautiful beach, and there's all that lovely white sand, and it's so wonderful. You feel the breeze in your face, and then all of a sudden, we get in the car, and we go shopping. Think about that. We can go shopping here. You men know what I'm talking about. And then you got to put it all, that's right, I'm trying to help you. And we try to put it back in the car to come home, and there's no more room in the car. So I said, well, you know, I guess we're going to have to ship all that stuff home. We couldn't put it all in the car. It's always better to take a smaller car on vacation, because then you can say, we can't buy all that because we have no room to take it home. So we went to this one mall, you know, it's Florida, there's a mall on every corner down there, you know, and so we went down there, and there was, I've mentioned it before, there were a large amount of those benches that I sit on. You know, the misery bench, where the men sit there and think, how much is this really costing me right now? And there were several men sitting on the one I was on, and we looked over, and the women were in joy and celebration because they had been pulled in and tricked again to spend money and to buy stuff. Well, the reason why I say all of that is because it illustrates something. When you go shopping, you notice something. Good retailers are good at putting up nice displays. And the display looks so good. It makes you think, you know, my britches are a little tight, but I can probably get that on. You know, I probably should go in there and get that diamond or that necklace. Look at that, it's beautiful. Displays. Ephesians 2:7, God has displayed something for the ages to come. You know what it is? His gracious kindness. Every generation, every God hater, everyone who stands to ridicule anybody who would follow Jesus, anybody who would stand and say Jesus and all he's talked about is craziness, and if you believe that kind of stuff, God loves, and in his kindness, he has extended his grace to every person, no matter who they are, whatever their background. He has displayed his grace, and I'm going to skip to point number 4, in us. So look what the Bible says in verse number 10. The fourth thing I want you to see is that God saves us by our grace, and he puts on display his grace and kindness in his people, in us who follow Jesus. So God saves us by grace so that, listen, we might do gracious things for other people. We all have a choice every day when we get up. By the way, just a message to you. People appreciate it when you're not being a big grouch. You hear what I'm trying to say this morning? You know, we don't need you to be miserable. We need you to be happy in Jesus. Nobody appreciates being around somebody who's always complaining and miserable and having a hard time. And the glass is half empty and nothing's going good. And oh, I'm so scared and I'm afraid and blah, 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 going on and on. And finally, you try to escape anywhere you can to get away from it. The Lord intended for his people to be gracious people. That means when you see somebody, you speak to them. You don't ignore them. You speak to them. Gracious people. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. All right, now this is really good. I want you to think about this. We can't read this, all of us, in the original language, in the Greek language, but this wonderful word workmanship literally means a piece of art. So turn to your neighbor and say, you are a piece of work. I'm just looking around. Look at all these pieces of work in here. Oh, you are a piece of work. And you're looking at me saying, and you are a piece of work. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. So when you come to know Jesus, you become a piece of work. You become something that he crafts. Look, he doesn't want you to be like somebody else. He wants you to be who you are. You know what I've said to you many, many times over these years that my grandmother said, be who you is, because if you be who you ain't, then you ain't who you is. Be who you are. Remember, in coming to Jesus, we are a new creation in Christ. We are new, but we have the same name. Did you get that? We're new, but we have the same name. For by grace are you saved. Through faith, you didn't do anything to merit it. It's the gift of God. And now he takes you and makes you his piece of work. So what the world says as a derogatory phrase, boy, he's a piece of work, we change over. You are the piece of work God is making. He is creating in you a newness. He is making you a new person. The old things go away. By grace you have been saved. You have a new mind. You have new desires. You have a new heart. You want to do things for the Lord rather than for yourself. You choose not to live the old way. You're not going to conform to the world's ways. You're going to stand for Jesus. We are his workmanship in Jesus, created in Jesus, listen, to do something for good works, which have been prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them. So in coming to know Jesus, when I'm saved so that my life becomes a life of walking. That's the, you know, that's the picture in the Bible of a lifestyle. Walking a lifestyle of good works. Did you catch this though? Here's the way we used to walk. Verse 2. You formerly had a lifestyle caught up in the world, under the dominion of the devil, whether you knew it or not, and fulfilling and living your life through all of those indulging of fleshly desires. Let me tell you something, it'll never get you any satisfaction. No matter how much, no matter how impulsive you are, no matter how much you're driven to do something with your flesh and your desires, it's never going to get you satisfaction. Real satisfaction comes when you experience and believe that God really cares about you. That He has been intentionally kind to you. So that means that if I'm a follower of Jesus and I've been saved by grace, I become a gracious one. The reason why there are some people who ridicule the church is because they have found in the church not gracious people, but hateful people, unforgiving people, hypocritical people, who come to church and say one thing but live another way. So this morning as we finish, I want you to think about this. The grace of God is His kindness. He's kind. He's intentionally been kind to you. He kept waiting on you to respond spiritually. He's waiting on you right now to come to Him, to give up on your old ways and to surrender and follow Jesus. He's waiting on you. That's the kindness of the Lord. The Lord does not wish that any should perish. I say this verse almost every week. What do we need to say in the world in which we live? The Lord does not wish for any to perish, but for everyone to come to eternal life. It is our job, who are grace receivers, to become grace givers. That's our job. That's my job. I'm a grace receiver. I must become a grace giver. I don't need to take my Bible and jam it down somebody's throat and point my finger at them and tell them shamefully how they're doing. You know what I found? I found people who don't know Jesus already living in enough shame. I don't need to tell them. They think they're having a great time, but when they go home, they're miserable. They're broken. They're empty. They aren't going anywhere. What we need is a world filled with Jesus people who are grace givers. We carry out the work that the Lord prepared for us to do. So here we are, 2015. Here we are, finishing this service, about to go back to school. All you students, you're going as missionaries. You're going as missionaries. Are there prohibitions on certain things that you can do? Certainly there are. Do you have to respect authority and you have to work inside those responsibilities? Yes. Do our teachers and our administrators, Dr. Weeks himself, all of us have those authorities, but we seek to be grace givers. My prayer is our church will be a grace-giving church, that we'll be gracious people. Even when people do not agree with us, even when people ridicule us, even when people think that what we stand for is a little silly, when you come to know Jesus, here's what you experience. God's grace. For by grace you are saved from yourself. It is the gift of God. So for you this morning, some of you, the most important thing for you would be to receive this special gift. It's called the intentional kindness of God. He has been intentionally kind to you. He's marked you out. You can't run from Him. You can't get away from Him. He loves you with an everlasting love. He pursues you with love. You may not know what it means to be loved, but the Lord loves you. He calls for you to come. And in Jesus, you have the opportunity to be saved, to be changed. So for some of you students, the best way to start the year is to come to Jesus. And let us help you do that. If you don't know how, we'll help you. Some of you, it's to start your life by saying, I'm changing my direction of life today. I'm going in a different direction. I'm not going to walk this old way. I've been saved by grace. I'm a piece of God's work. He's working on me to change me. And I have some things I have to do in Jesus' name. So as we leave this place, we leave being Jesus to people. So we think about the old song. I can't help but quote it. You know the song. Many of us grew up singing it. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured. There where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Grace, grace. God's grace. Grace, listen to me, that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Say it with me, the last line out loud. Let's read it together. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Say it with me again. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Amen. Amen.